Amen. Now, I was so encouraged this morning with my young people. I was encouraged with the choir too, because you sing when you came and you lift up the name of the Lord, because you're singing unto Jesus. You are giving the praise and you are giving the glory to God. And this morning I'm very, very happy. I want to thank everyone for the love you're showing to us. And I just feel a special love from this church and appreciation for the Word of God. And that makes me feel good. I love to teach the Word of God, and I love to explain the Word of God. That's what my ministry is, to explain, connect Scripture. And Sister Rosie and I was talking, and I was asking her. I said, because there was a time when I would just be an evangelist, and fiery, running up and down the aisles, and now I sit here teaching. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I said, "Is there a difference?" Uh-huh. She said, "You're more mature and calmer, explaining the Word of God." Amen. So I don't know, if that's really me, but I'm glad that God has called me to explain and expound the Word of God. Amen. I just want to ask God's blessing upon this service today. And Joshua, he became a great man, and he's going to change your life. This section of Scripture, because it's going to build your faith if you listen. And I see the results of what God is doing. But you have to listen to the Word of God. Amen. You have to digest it. Take it in. Like Marina was saying, eat it up. If you're going to be a leader, you have to eat the Word to be strong and be very courageous. Joshua 1, put it up there. Be strong and be very courageous. And Joshua grew in the Lord. He developed. And he grew in wisdom, knowledge, because he had a leader. He had a teacher. And he became the servant of Moses. And before you can be a leader, Marina said that too, you have to be a servant. A good servant becomes a good leader. A good follower becomes a good leader. You'll never be a leader unless you first be a follower. Amen. You have to know how to work around the church, how to turn off lights, how to pick up paper, how to clean up water plants. See, I can point out many servants in this church. Angie, you don't find a greater servant than Angie. See, you could find her in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, a woman like this, and others. I just point out to this lady as an example of a servant heart, faithful, committed. She's always there. That's a servant. A servant is one that they're always on the job. They're always there. You can depend on them. They're not going to miss their duty. And that's what builds a strong church. Faithful people that are committed. Not people that they're there 1 week and they're gone another one. Those are not faithful people. Very, very unfaithful. You cannot build a church with that spirit or that attitude. That's a very unfaithful spirit. It's not stable, unstable as water. See, you have to have people that are rooted and grounded in the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And it's like you have a job and someone worked for you, but you don't know when they're going to be there. You don't, your business will go under. See, so God calls people to be faithful. It's appointed in steward that a man, a woman be faithful. Yeah, you have to be faithful in whatever you're doing. You're doing it for God, not for yourself or not for man. You don't please yourself, but you please God, and you learn how to be faithful. And when you're faithful, God will bless you. And God will guide you, and God will direct you. Now, I want to this morning go back to Joshua, because I showed you, I think last week, that there was Joshua finally became the man that God wanted. But he had to grow up, but he had to have a teacher. He had to have a leader. And he had a good leader. He had a good teacher. Blessed is that church that have a teacher. Amen. And a leader that can show you and guide you and instruct you in the Word of God. Amen. So Joshua had to grow up. Last week, I think I showed you with about Eldab and Medab when they prophesied, you remember? Yeah. And Joshua didn't understand. Now, this week, I want to, if you'll help me with the scripture here, and I want you to go to Exodus 32. You see, you have to look at the Bible. And I could pick a verse here and run all over the Bible, but I'm a teacher. And I have to go sometimes verse by verse and bring chapters here and there. So in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, we find that Joshua was with Moses. Most of the time he was with Moses. And they went up into the mountain. The chapter tells you here, and I don't want to read the whole chapter, but they went up into the mountain, and God was speaking to Moses, because Israel began to get off the track. They built a golden calf. You know the story, right? Yeah. Israel built a golden calf, and in the absence of Moses. Let me read from verse 1 of Exodus 32. Can we all read that? Yeah. It's a very timely message. You need to pay attention to it, right? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, G-O-D-S. They knew that they should not do that, because in Exodus 20, look at Exodus 20. Go there first. Exodus, turn your Bibles now, so chapter 20. God spake in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. That's clear. There's only one God. There's not two gods. There's only one God. You don't pray to the saints. You don't pray to many gods. There is only one God. Hallelujah. Can you get that? There's only one God that you pray to. And he said here, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Read on. Thou means you. You personally, individually, should have no other gods. See that? Little g. There's only one God in capital G. Amen. Go back to that verse. Thou shalt have no other God. Say that loud. Thou shalt have no other God before me or beside me. That means none. None. Verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that where is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, that means right here in the earth, or that is in the waters under the earth. No gods. No idols, no carved out gods, no saints, no prophets, no gods of men, no gods of female. They're all idols and they're wrong. Amen? If you've got them in your house, throw them out. If somebody give you little idols as presents and gifts, and you know that people worship those, throw them out. Get rid of them. Oh, but they're innocent. There's no such thing as an innocent idol. Because idols provoke God. And it's a challenge to his deity, to who God is. Are you getting it now? Thou shalt have no other gods before or beside me. Read on. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. We've had this verse. In heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Next verse says, thou shalt, notice, don't bow down thyself to them. Don't count. Don't put stones and count or whatever you have. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, notice, your personal God. He is your God. Say that. He is my God. He said, he's your God, is he? How many gods do you have? One. That's what I'm telling you about right now. Who do you love? How many do you love? One God. Then he says, don't serve them. Don't bow down to them in prayer, worship, or serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He's jealous over you. Visiting, that's an iniquity. The iniquity of the fathers upon the children. You know, father was the head of the house. He worshiped idols. God's going to be upset with him. And he's going to pass on to the children. Somebody said, I'm following my father's tradition. You're going to be judged by God. Visiting, here's what's going to do. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. When you have idols and you worship idols, what do? You hate God. When you're bowing down to idols, you're not a friend of God. When you're serving idols, you don't love God. Amen. You say, but I don't bow down and worship idols. But you can have idols in your heart. Whatever you put before God is an idol. If you put yourself before the Lord, you're an idol worshiper. You can worship self, your own image. You love yourself more than God. You could not make a sacrifice for God because of self. Me, my, I. Now, he says, he visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children. Unto the third. Brother, I'm telling you, somebody in that family has to rise up and break that curse. Amen. When your fathers or your grandfathers was in idols, you better ask God, if you come from that lineage, to help you. Amen. And you rise up and said, I'm not going to bow down to the gods of my father. You're not listening to me, are you? Amen. You have to rise up and says, God, I love you. Yes. Don't charge me with the sins of my father, the iniquities of my father. And ask God, say, God, I want to repent for the sins of my fathers. And I will serve you. I will bless you. You are my God. Tell him. And you alone is my God. You have to know who is your God. Because there are many gods. You drive around the city, you find gods. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to serve the true and living God. I mean, this church, we're going to serve God. There's only one God. And we will not serve idols. We will not bow down. We will get them out of our minds, our hearts. And we will not bow down to them. Or honor them. Amen. Amen. You won't even bow down to idols or anything. You only bow down to God. I'm going to show you as I go along. Now here, what else is there? Verse 6 says, what does it say? But look how good he is. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love. Do you love him? You're in for mercy. Do you love the Lord? Are you refusing to bow down to an idol? I didn't hear you. Do you refuse to bow down to idols? If your parents or your family serve idols, you will not serve their idols. And you'll not compromise. You know why? Because you don't want God to hate you. But you want God to love you. And he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Then let I stop right there. Okay, back to. But do you understand now what idols? You don't serve idols. And back to Exodus 32, we start at verse 1. When the people saw that Moses went up to communicate with God to get a word from God to bring it back to the camp. But they saw that Moses delayed up in the mountain. Guess what they did? When they saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, you see, Aaron was a weak leader. You don't try to please the people. Or when you don't have courage, remember be strong and be very courageous. Here's a chance to display courage. And you have a chance to display courage when somebody wants to bow down to idols and want you to join them and ridicule because you don't. It says, when they saw that he didn't come down, Moses, they went to Aaron and said unto Aaron, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for, notice, as for this Moses, the man. Do you see that spirit? When you take on a spirit against your pastor, against your leader, disrespect.
Oh yeah.
You see what happened?
Yeah.
You're going to idolatry fast. This man. He wasn't the leader. He wasn't the commander. He was this man. Who does this man think he is telling me? He said, as for this man, do you see what disrespect is? When you got idols in your heart, you don't respect authority. Men of God, this man, You'll say all kind of things about the preacher, and you don't care. But when you've got the love of God in your heart, you're a different person. Amen. Your pastor, your preacher look good to you. Amen. Paul said to the, who was it he said? Was it the Corinthians? Who was it? Or the Philippians? That he said that the infirmities that was in his flesh, they did not despise. But they treat him as if he was an angel. Amen. Of God. I mean, you understand? But they had much disrespect. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't even know what has become of him. If the pastor is absent a week or a little while, let's plunge in idolatry. Let's have our own way. Let's begin to do things our own way. And unless you've got people that stand. Amen. Are you with me now? Yeah. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Yeah. And having your loins girded with truth. You put on the breastplate. That's why you have to be strong and have a good courage. Yeah. Are you listening now? Amen. And Aaron said unto them, you see a week how weak he is? He should have known better. Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. Verse 3. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto to Aaron. And he received them at their hand. And fashioned it, notice what he did, and he fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a golden, a molten calf. And they said, these, do you see the, that treasonous spirit, that rebellious spirit? How quickly can you forget? A person can't forget God. What did they say? These be thy gods, O Israel. God told them in Exodus 20, we just read that, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. And look what they're doing. Amen. Look what they're doing. He says, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. That's a lie. Amen. That golden calf did not part the Red Sea. That's not true. But it's easy for the devil to blind you. If you don't obey the word of God and walk close to God, the devil blind you that quickly. All the devil has to do is blind you. And when he blind you, what happened? When you're blinded, you cannot see the light of the glorious gospel that's shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. You cannot see the Lord. That's right. The first thing the devil does is blind you. So you don't know who God is. You cannot see God. And you could see the golden calves. You can see other images and other idols. But you cannot see God. Amen. Are you with me now? Amen. And when Aaron saw it, look at this man now. He should be second leader, high priest. And when he saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. What a mix-up man. A leader. A priest. High priest. You see how easy it is to get away from God. Next verse says, they didn't sleep in. They didn't sleep in. When the devil is in your skin, in your heart, you can do some funny thing. They rose up early. They're going to go to church. They're going to have church. And tomorrow, they rose up early on tomorrow in the morning. They got up real early. And offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people, notice what they did. The people sat down to eat. Boy, they had, whew. They had a party. They sat down to eat and drink. And what did they do? And afterwards, they rose up to play. To play. When you're not serving God in sincerity, all you're doing is playing. You're playing games. They sat down to eat and they rose up to play. That word play means worship the idol, the golden calf. When you do that, you're just playing with your soul, playing with your salvation. They sat down and have a party. See, they're blinded. No conviction. It's gone. How quickly. That's why we need to fear God. And then they rose up to play. And they rose up. Next verse 6. Yeah, 7. They rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses. No, notice. Get thee down. Go on down. For notice, God didn't say my people. Because they were not God's people at that time. When you're worshiping images and idol, you can go to church, but you're not God's people. It's when the love of God is in your heart. He said, go on, get thee down, for thy people, you see, God brought them up, but God said, they denied God. They give the credit to the idols. He said, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. What did they do? What does idols do to you? Corrupt you. Images, idols. The fellowship of that spirit. It totally corrupt you. You've got to come out of that. Amen. He said, they have corrupted themselves. How do you do that? With idols. When you're serving idols, when you're counting them beads, when you anointing yourself with some oil that's dedicated, or whatever you do, eating sacrifices that offer to idol, whatever you do, worshiping them. I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about all over the world. Because this goes around. Every form of idol is idolatry. It's wrong. God hates it. See? I'm talking not only to you, but around, because this goes around the world right now. And there are people that worship idols and eat things as sacrifice to idols and rise up to play. And God says, get down, Moses, because they've totally corrupted themselves. Verse. And they have turned, notice, aside quickly out of the way. That's the way of God, the way of truth. I am the way, Jesus said, which I commanded them. What way? What was the way they turned? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Notice, you can come out of the world, but you're still in the world. Your heart is there. They were out of Egypt, but yet Egypt was still in them, and the gods of Egypt was in their minds, in their heart. That's why it was so easy to make a golden calf. And the Lord said unto Moses, don't this make you feel like loving God? Don't you feel like saying, God, you're my God. Yeah. The only God I know and I want. Don't this make you feel like reaching out and putting your arms around Jesus? And say, thank you for opening my eyes. Because you are the true God, the living God, the only God for me. Somebody shout. It makes you want to love God. It makes you... You feel like, you know, God, I love you. You're the only God for me. It wants you want to bow down and worship him. And said, I thank you. I don't want any God, no idols. I want a God that talks to me. A God that I can love. A God that knows my every need. Somebody say amen. Praise God. The holy and the true God. Can you imagine the feeling of this God that he brought them out of Egypt, Sister Joni? He loved them. He fed them. He cared for them. And just a short time, he gave them the word. He showed them the way. Cloud by day and by night, the pillar of fire. And now they turned against him. You think of yourself as a parent, nourish and you care for your children, and they turn against you. That's how God feels. He said in Isaiah, I've nourished and I brought up children, and they rebelled against me. Ah, sinful nation. People laden with sin. See, we've got to turn to God in sincerity. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, notice, God said, I know them. They're stiff-necked. They've corrupted themselves. Now therefore, God says, get out of my way, Moses. Just let me alone. Give me some space. That my wrath may wax out against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make... Notice the program of God would go on. God said, I'm going to destroy them, but I'll make of you a great nation. And he could. God can raise up a nation out of the stones. See, what you've got to understand, that when you don't serve God, it's only a matter of time. God's going to replace you. God's going to bring somebody to you do your job. The church goes on. God said, I'm going to destroy them, but my work will go on. He said, I'm going to raise up a nation. That's why I tell you, it doesn't matter who is in church. When you come to church, you clap your hands, sing, praise the Lord. When you come to church, you get on your feet, you testify. You praise God like we heard this morning. You don't look at anybody. You look to God. Because once you begin to look to people, they become your idols. If they don't preach and testify, you can't. But God is your God. Moses, and Moses besought the Lord. Notice what a spirit. Moses didn't say, yes, go ahead and kill him and I'll be a nation. No. Moses besought the Lord, his God. See? His God. Do you know your God? And said, Lord, why doeth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Is your God? Moses is putting it right back. God said, they're your people. And now Moses said, no, they're your people. Somebody share. Yeah, Pastor. Oh, that's Pastor's church. No, Pastor turned it back and said, no, that's the Lord's church. Are you with me now? Oh, I go to Pastor Wedderburn Church. No, somebody said, no, that's God's church. That's Jesus' church. Are you with me? He's the head of the church. And Moses said, Lord, they're your people. They're not my people. Why do it thy rod walks a hot against thy people? Which, notice, oh, I feel like I want to, somebody shout with me. Somebody shout. He said, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with great and mighty hand. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. They're yours, Lord. You give it back to him. The church belongs to him. The body, we are, but it's for Christ. The body of Christ. Wherefore, Lord, should as the Egyptians speak and says, for mischief. Did what Moses was a wonderful man. God give him wisdom. For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. What a prayer. You see how you pray? Do you hear you talk to God? Eh? This is wonderful. You put it right back in God's hands. That's the way to pray for your church. I said, God, let us stand. It's your church. Let your church stand. Bring people into your church. Save people for your church. Somebody help me. Raise up your church. Help your people. Build your church. Bless your church. I'm going to clean up the church of the Lord. Somebody help me. I'm going to play for God, not for myself. I'm going to preach for the Lord. It's the church. It's the body of Christ. It's not your church. When you play that drum, Sister Cynthia, it's not for pastor. It's for the Lord. When you clap your hands in the corner, hallelujah corner, it's not for me. It's for Jesus. Tati, when you get on your feet, you're not preaching for pastor or your father or mother or anybody. No. You let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, girl. Amen. Let the fire of God get in your bones. Yeah. You're the next generation. Yeah. Not just the next generation, but you're the right now generation preachers. Yeah. You're the right now generation young people. That's why you're here. Yeah. God brought you here, Elijah. God brought you here. To put this word in your heart. God brought every one of you here. Why does Sister Alicia got up here? And that anointing, that power of God that raised her up. Eh? That Holy Ghost. That's what we need. That power. The fire of the Spirit of God. Remember. Hallelujah. You become the Lord's remembrancer. Tell him, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self and said unto them, I will multiply your seeds as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed. And they shall inherit it forever. You see, you're going back and showing God his promises. And the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. He's a merciful God. There's forgiveness with him. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down. He's coming down off from the mountain. But notice here, he deferred the wrath of God. Hallelujah. I feel God all over this church. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tables, that's the Bible. Yeah, the Bible, early Bible. Tables of the testimonies were in his hands, and the tables were written on both of their sides, one side, and on the other side were they written. Read on. And the tables were the work of God. The writing was, listen to this, the writing of God graven upon tablets. This is powerful. The word I'm preaching this morning is the word of God. Go back to that verse 16. And the tables were the work of God, and the writings are the writing of God, and he engraving it today upon the tables of your heart. That's what's going on. The word I'm speaking, God is writing it on your heart by the Holy Ghost. The finger of God, because it's God's word. Hallelujah. Next verse. And when Joshua, this is the part I'm going to show you right now. See, Moses already know. That's why it's important to follow a leader and have a leader. Because notice that God never talked to Joshua until then. Joshua didn't know what was going on. He never heard a voice. That was between Moses and God. Joshua didn't know what was going on. He found out later. Are you with me now? Who did God talk to? Who heard first? Joshua was there, but he didn't hear. When I'm in the same church, I got to hear if his pastor hear it. Really? Listen, you've got to get into the place where God begin to talk to your heart. I want to show you this. This is powerful. Follow me. And when Joshua Let's go back there because this is awesome. It touched my heart. And when Joshua heard the noise, notice the noise of the people as they shouted. Notice, it was just noise. If God's not in it, it's just noise. Are you with me? If God's not in the band, the choir, it's just noise. That's all it is. If you're not dedicated, if you're not consecrated, if you don't spend time praying and seeking God, it's just noise. That's what's going on in the world. That's what I'm to a lot of churches. It's just noise. They bring in all these trying to entertain smoke. You ever gone there and they get up there, begin to drum and carry and smoke and lights and lightning and thunder and what else?
Fireworks.
You don't need that. You only need that when it's just noise. That's why young people don't bring that in this church. We had that one time. It doesn't work. You say we attract the young people. No, nothing but the word of God and the anointing. You see that up here. When that Holy Ghost get a hold of them. You don't have to have lights coughing at you and the mic coughing and everything is boom, 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 boom. Huh? Noise. It's just noise. What are you doing it for? God doesn't like that. That's why you want to respect and love God and let the Holy Ghost come in. Are you listening now? And when Joshua heard these, when Joshua heard the what? Noise. Come on now. When somebody come through this door, and when people are, we don't want to hear them, the choir just making noise. I'm getting to that. I had this message from this week. I didn't just get this message. See, the choir, you listen to the choir, it's just noise. There's nothing coming from it. No anointing. If you don't dedicate yourselves, if you don't pray over every instrument, every song, if a song just keep popping up and you wait till you come, you don't rehearse, you don't go over it, it's just noise. Yes. You don't want to come Sunday morning or any time and just make noise. Amen. It's got to be anointed. So when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. Notice he didn't know. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. See, he didn't know what was going on. He thought they were being attacked by the enemy. God never told him. And Moses never told him what happened yet. He thought that. He heard a noise, but he didn't have the discerning yet to know what's going on, that Israel had totally corrupted themselves. He heard the noise and the singing, but he couldn't see the problem. He didn't have that wisdom or that development to know the problem in a church. There's a lot of secret problem, and you might hear a song, but you don't know what it's coming from. And you might think it's the enemy outside attacking, while it's internal attacks.
That's right.
You Joshua thought the problem was outside, but the problem was on the inside and in the choir. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I heard a noise. And he thought it was the enemy outside. Neighboring enemies were attacking. But it wasn't time. It was not war from the outside. In the scripture said there's a time of war, time of peace, time to sing, time to shout, whatever. Now, but they were singing and shouting internally. But that was worse than an attack of the enemy from the outside. The outside won't destroy you. It's the inside that destroy you. It's corruption and the inside that destroy you. Are you listening now? So here it says that he thought that it was they were being attacked of war. But Moses had the answer. Moses heard from God. Moses had the solution. Moses already prayed to God and turned the rod of God. The pastor already prayed before he come to church. He knows he had a message. And he knows the spirit that's working in the church. When you've got an unfaithful spirit, a compromising spirit, a spirit that's not faithful. Joshua heard it. He said, there's a noise of war in the camp. Go on.
And he said,
this is Moses. Now notice here, Moses said, it is not the voice of them that shout of mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. They weren't getting the victory. It wasn't a war. It was a different spirit. Moses said, that's what I heard. It's not a voice of war. It's not the voice of the attacks outside. It's the attacks inside. Music. Or preaching. Or shouting. Or dancing. Inside. And corrupt and destroy. Because if it's not according to the word of God, it's just noise. Do you want to make noise? So why when you get up to sing with all your heart, play and sing unto the Lord with all your heart. Not just. Are you holding the mic as if you're falling asleep? You put your life in it. All right, let me go on and show you something. And he said, okay. But he said, it's the voice of the sing. Where am I? 18. Go back to verse 18. He said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Do you see that? Well, Joshua needed to know that. He thought it was war. So he's going to deal with a different problem. He's going to deal with the enemy outside while the enemy's on the inside. So he had to know where the enemy was. He had to know, apostle, to know where the attack is coming from. Okay. Okay, you have to know whether it's an attack from the world or it's corruption in the church. It's attack in the church.
Amen.
Are you listening now? Because most churches are destroyed from within. And pastor didn't know. So Joshua was not ready yet. Because he could not tell the difference from war from singing. When they corrupted themselves. Here's a pastor and he doesn't know how. There's a problem but he doesn't know how to deal with it. He doesn't know where it is. He doesn't know who's causing the trouble. He doesn't know who's destroying the church. He has to grow. That's why there must be a leader. That's why we have to grow. That's why we have to stick to the word of God. And If there's many voices, the pastor tell you this, but somebody else tell you something else, and somebody else tell you what's going to happen, you're going to be confused. Amen. You go to school, and a professor tell you this in the morning. Then another professor come in the evening and tell you differently and the same thing. What's going to happen to you? You're confused. Well, that's what happened to a church. When a pastor say, thus said the Lord, that is the word. You don't obey your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your husband, your wife, your friend, your outlaws, whatever. That's the word of God. Well, you see that spirit now? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. See that feel right up now? You want to be a god, eh? You better obey me. No, 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 no. He said, but that man. You remember we told you the lesson? That man, Moses. We don't know where he is. Ask for me. You see that spirit now? Huh? Yeah. You got to stay in the word of God. That man. Who does he think he is? Ooh. Another spirit. Well, don't you know, we marry for better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. We're one. But you don't forget, until death we part. But this year you never part. This is eternal life. That man or that woman is only with you until you breathe the last breath. So who do you follow first? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You obey God. But here's the problem now. Here's the problem. That Joshua now, you see, do you understand? But he grew. I'm showing you that. He did not know the problems yet in the congregation. Because God didn't tell him. Until God began to talk to you. Otherwise, you need a leader. Hallelujah. So you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the next verse says,
and it came to pass,
as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw, what he saw now? He saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. All right, now, notice here. Here's the maturity now. With all that corruption, you know what a lot of preachers go in there and do? Eh? Begin to have a Bible study. No, you have to deal with the problem. You have to pull out the sword of the Spirit, and you're going to, you know, now the weapon of our warfare in that corner. But now you're going to have to get in there with the weapon of the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and begin to stick the devil. So you wonder why the pastor deals sometimes with problems. He has to know when to hold them, when to fold them. Know when to run. You can't do that. So you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Know when to run. And Moses knew how to hold them and fold them, because Jonadab was rebelling in the camp. And no time. This was no time for. God bless you. This was time, sister, come on here. I want to talk to you. Come on here, brother. I want to talk to you. You know, now you get up and just preach the word of God like it is. Came to pass, as soon as he came to the camp, that he saw the calf dancing. Moses' anger was out, and he cast the tables. I mean, those were the word of God written by God. And he cast the tables out of his hands and break them between the mount. What were you going to talk? Are you going to give those people? They're not ready. You got to clean the corruption up first. You got to get rid of the golden calf first. You got to get rid of that idol worship out of your heart first. You don't build them up with that spirit. Get rid of the corruption first. Here, verse.
And he took the calf
and burned And look what he did now. The calf which they had made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water. Look at that now. Look at what he did. You said a man of God don't have authority. Yes, he does. See, when you've got to understand what a church is. A church is not a toy. It's not something you play with. It's not something. The least of a church, not only this church, but the least of a church anywhere. It could be two people anywhere in a little room. It's a church if it's in the Word of God. It's a powerful place. It's a dreadful place. And notice what he did. When he burned it, the golden calf, and he ground it into powder and strawed it upon the water. And what he did? Somebody said, nobody's going to make me drink. Are you listening now? And he made them drink it. Let that sink inside of you. The calf that they were just worshiping, he burnt it. Today we burn it with the Holy Ghost. We throw it in the fire of the Spirit of God. We got the fire. You listen? We throw it in there and grind it up with the Word of God under your feet and make them drink it. How do you make them drink it? Just keep giving it back to them with the Word of God. When it's wrong, you just put the Holy Ghost fire and let them drink that thing. Oh, couldn't do that. What he's saying is that you deal with the problem and let them drink it. When they come out with stuff, push it back down. When their tongues is long, cut it off. Spiritually. When they come up with funny ideas and challenge a church of God, what do? You stand up. And you deal with it. Are you listening now? Be very courageous. You be strong and you burn that idols. You've got to burn it with the Holy Ghost. Let what we felt today, that Holy Ghost power moving in the church, and you burn that idol with the Holy Ghost. And what did he do? He cast it upon the water and made them drink. The water of the word, and make them drink. Make them drink. You burn up their conscience. Make them drink it. Tell them the truth. Don't go around the corner. See, that's a man of God. You don't overcome. You don't change a church. You don't do that. You don't change it. The word of God is stronger than you are. If you don't want to change, fine. But the word of God cannot change. How many would like to change and go all the way in your heart with God? How many? How many of you love the Lord this morning? Come on, you hear the message. You really love the Lord. You want to serve him with all your heart. You're tired. Tired of golden calves, images, idols. Tired of who you are. But you want to love God with all your heart and said, I'm tired. I tell you. And Moses, this lesson is beautiful. But the next time we see Joshua, he's going to get into that state of maturity where God begin to talk about him. Amen. And God begin to prepare him. And finally God talking to him.
Amen.
We're going to go into Deuteronomy 31 where God begin to talk to Joshua.
Amen.
Prepare Joshua. Call him out by name. Because he was faithful. Don't you want to be faithful? And that man became faithful that he could command the sun to stand still and the moon. What a power. He walked across the Jordan and it divided. They walk around a city of Jericho and what happened? The walls came down. What a power. What a power. Come on. That man took the land of Canaan and divided it and destroyed the enemies of God. That's what you need to do. Marina, you stay in that word. On your mommy and all of you, stay in the word of God. And God's going to give us a new crop of young people. This time. I remember we had a beautiful, and there was too much control. Everybody was in charge. Doing this, doing that, running here, doing that. We want to have a group of young people that really love God. Amen. That their only desire is to serve the Lord. Amen. They're not crazy about entertainment. They're not even crazy about going to the mountains. Unless it's Zion. That's where the mountain they want to go to. Mount Zion. They love God. Grant it, Lord. I'd like to see a choir that's so dedicated, faithful, and love God. But it will come. It will come. That love God more than anything else. I'd like to see some people in the church that love God. Want to see this church clean. When you look up on the chandeliers, there's no dust up there. The floors, everything. I'm not saying it's not clean now. I'm just saying that it could be cleaner. Amen. Faithful, coming out. Don't miss church. Loves God. Come with a desire to serve God. Amen. And this lesson goes on, but I'm gonna stop you because I could have gone over to Daniel. The Hebrew boys would not bow down. Remember those boys? You know, they're powerful. When this man made the golden calves with the music, idols, the image of gold in Daniel, you know it. And command at the sound of the sakba, the flute, the dulcimer, there's over 6 different instruments. When you hear the sound, you bow down and worship. But there were 3. Have we got 3 people here? I said, have we got 3 people here? When they heard that sound, they know that was not the sound, the joyful sound. They know that was not the songs of Zion. That was not their that was not their God. They don't, and they would not bow down. What happened? The king cast them in the fiery furnace. Yeah. But when he looked in, what did he saw? There was a fourth man. That's the one we worship. We worship that fourth man. And the fourth man was like the Son of God. The fourth man was the Son of God. It's the same fourth man that died on the cross. It's the same fourth man that I'm telling you about this morning. It's the same fourth man that I bow and worship and said, you are my God, you are my Lord. Jesus, the Son of God. I love him today, don't you? Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise.